This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Are safe and sane fireworks also popular? From Marketplace in Los Angeles, I'm Nova Safo in for David Brancaccio. Lots of people like to buy their own fireworks during the 4th of July. A number of states, though, are limiting the types of fireworks you can purchase to the so-called safe and sane variety, otherwise known as fireworks that don't leave the ground. Safety is a reason. Another is the threat of wildfires. Are these safer, saner fireworks catching on? Marketplace's Andy Euler takes a look.
The term safe and sane was popularized in the 1950s and 60s to describe fireworks thought less likely to cause injury or start a fire.
Fountains, cones, Whistler products, snake products.
James Fuller is a fireworks safety expert at TNT Fireworks. He says what actually qualifies as safe and sane varies by location. Fuller says that category has grown popular amid wildfire concerns and for those customers dealing with inflation.
They're far, far cheaper devices, so your dollar for value goes a lot further.
That said, traditional fireworks still make up the majority of sales for fireworks companies like TNT. Now, in terms of safety,
they may be safer, but it's still playing with fire.
That's Jennifer Balch. She's a fire scientist at the University of Colorado Boulder. She co-authored a study that found that 7,000 fires were started on July 4th between 1992 and 2015.
I really do think now is the time to think about different ways to celebrate that don't carry the risk of starting a wildfire.
Her suggestion? A laser light show. In Austin, I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Across the pond, Ukraine will likely need hundreds of billions of dollars to rebuild after the war. Government leaders and international organizations are meeting in Switzerland today to start planning out how that rebuilding will take place. The BBC's Imogen Folks reports.
With fighting raging in eastern Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky has already warned that many towns will need rebuilding from scratch. But this is not a donor conference. The aim is to highlight the needs and draft a provisional roadmap for recovery, at the same time tackling corruption. The original pre-war priority for this conference will also be addressed. Ukraine has been ranked one of the most corrupt countries in the world, and Brussels says reform is a key step on the path to EU membership.
That's Imogen Folks with the BBC.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
This Wednesday, the Federal Reserve will release minutes from its last policy meeting in June when it raised interest rates by 0.75% to fight inflation. The minutes will offer clues as to whether another steep rate hike is in the offing this month. And while Americans are concerned about inflation, they're divided about how to fight it. That's according to a new poll taken in May by a unit of our company, APM Research Labs, in association with academic researchers. My colleague Sabri Benishour spoke earlier with Eric Plutzer. He's a professor of political science at Penn State and helped craft the poll.
One of the most striking things about this survey is just the sheer amount of disagreement between Americans on how to combat inflation. What do you make of that?
I think the American public is kind of all over the place. There's no consensus, even among people within the same political party. And if we were to reduce this, you'd say the public is concerned. They want the government to do something. But they're really not sure what that should be. And if pressed, people will say reduce government spending or hold the line on prices on essentials like housing, gasoline, and healthcare. But here's the catch. All of those policies require the Congress and the president to work together. And when we ask them, they don't really seem to have much confidence in the White House or the Congress or the Federal Reserve.
More than one in five surveyed said they didn't know what the best way to fight inflation was. Of course, one of the main ways to fight inflation is through the Federal Reserve. What does the fact that people are so uncertain about what to do tell you about how people think about the economy?
So relatively few people thought the Fed ought to have a great deal of influence over inflation policy. And so that puts the public at odds with expert opinion and traditional policymaking.
The fact that views vary so widely on who to trust, what actions to take to fight inflation, that combined with our very polarized political system, what does that mean for how we as a society deal with complex economic problems?
It seems to me that the state of public opinion makes it easy for elected officials to simply use this as a way of targeting others and creating villains in the narrative. And on the other hand, it probably lays the groundwork for lots of gimmicks being proposed by politicians. And I think in this environment, politicians and leaders will be looking for gimmicks that might attract public attention and might seem positive to members of the public in the short term.
Eric Plutzer is a professor of political science at Penn State and director of polling at the McCourtney Institute for Democracy, which conducted this survey for the Mood of the Nation poll in collaboration with APM Research Lab. Thank you, Eric, so much.
You're quite welcome, Sabri.
And in another sign of inflation, this coming Sunday, the U.S. Postal Service is expected to increase the price of the Forever stamp by 2 cents. The new price will be 60 cents per stamp. 10 years ago, a Forever stamp would have cost you just 45 cents. I'm Nova Safo with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.